Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McKay on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right. Welcome into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming on thegamenashville.com, the Game Nashville app. We are on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud. You can find this show that comes to you every Friday afternoon. Albeit a little late this week, but every Friday afternoon, talking NASCAR. That's what we do. It is a passion of mine. I have been all about NASCAR racing for a very long time, and it is awesome to be able to come on each and every week and talk about it with all of you. Gotta say this, through the first six shows, it's been really cool, the outpouring of support. Some of you have reached out to me on Twitter, at ChaseOnGame, and let me know that you've been listening, that you're race fans just like me, and you enjoy the interviews, you enjoy the conversation, and everything, you know, that we have been talking about over the past 6 weeks on this show. So I appreciate that. That's very cool. You know, last week was something I'm proud of this entire show, but last week was something that I was extremely proud of, and that's I had Darrell Waltrip on, who is a guy that everybody around here, you know, knows in Middle Tennessee, and then Martin Truex Jr. as well, the defending NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series champion. Which is just was so cool to have him on because he's such a humble guy. And guess what? He went out and he won the race. So I'd like to think that maybe I gave him a little bit of luck. I'm going to say his crew chief, Cole Pearn, the strategy that he had. Of course, Martin Truex Jr. driving the race car. I'm going to say that probably had the most to do with it. But I'll take a little bit of credit that, you know, we got him in a good mood. I asked good questions. He came on. He had a good time. And thus was able to win the race. Just kidding. But congrats to Martin Truex Jr. for getting it done at Sonoma. He's become a bit of a road racer. Now has, if my math serves me correctly, which is always dangerous, I think he now has three road course wins, two at Sonoma. So now with, you know, three road courses on the schedule, if you count the Roval at Charlotte, that is good for Martin Truex Jr. to be able to have that kind of success. Now, he wins based on some very brilliant strategy by the crew chief, Cole Pearn. So basically what happens towards the end of the race, they're under caution. Truex calls him in. Or I'm sorry, Cole Pearn calls Truex in. And then at the very last second says, you know, no, wait, stay out. Now, as a driver, I don't really know what would go through your mind. Like, okay, wait, you just said come in, now you're saying stay out. Truex didn't question it at all. In fact, he was asked about that after the race.
I just drove the car. It's what I do, you know. Cole and I have a great relationship. I never question him when he's calling races and when he has, you know, things going on when he's talking to me in the car. It's just okay. It's yes or no answers for me. So yeah, I mean, he told me to pit, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna pit. And then he said, don't pit. So I'm like, fine, I'm just gonna stay out. I realized once the four pitted, for a lap, I guess it was a half a lap or a lap before, he said we were gonna run nine more, that I knew the situation I was in, sort of, because, you know, anytime somebody pits before you at a track like this, you know you're going to be old and older tires. So I was just like, okay, let's just maximize. I want to maximize the time I lose by not making any mistakes, making sure I get everything I can every lap. And if I catch traffic, make sure I time it right and get by them. And, yeah, so it worked out good. But when he said, you know, pit and then stay out, I wasn't sure what was going on, to be honest. I just did what he said.
That shows you the trust between Martin Truex Jr. and Cole Pearn. And that's why they won a championship last year. That's why they're in a position to win a championship this year. We've all talked about Kevin Harvick. We've talked about Kyle Busch, the seasons that they have had. I even asked Martin Truex Jr. about that last week when he was on the show. But Martin Truex Jr. is starting to hit his stride. And we saw this last year. They get into the summer months. He starts to feel it. They're winning more races, and all of a sudden, they become the team to beat. I think you're seeing that right now. I think you're seeing that out of Martin Truex Jr., Cole Pearn, that Furniture Row team. They're showing that, like, hey, you know what? Last year wasn't a fluke. We're gonna try and do this again. And I think that that is going to be dangerous for everyone on the home stretch because they're very much in the playoffs. We know that Kevin Harvick's in. We know that Kyle Busch is in. We know that Clint Bowyer is in. Austin Dillon is in. Joey Logano is in. But I think that everyone would agree that there's a group that they're going to get in, and then there's a group that's actually going to contend for the championship, and Martin Truex Jr. is definitely going to be contending for a championship. There's no doubt about that in my mind. He's just been that good. Now, whether he wins it or not, you never know. I mean, you never know what's going to happen under this playoff format. But I think Truex is just showing how dominant he is. That strategy, though, the strategy that Cole Pearn came up with, I think it confused a lot of people, but I also believe that there was a little bit of, all right, okay, that was brilliant. That was good. Clint Bowyer commented on the strategy and whether he thought, had there been another caution, did he have the car to catch Truex?
You know, you just don't know what's going on. I mean, you kind of do, but you kind of don't. You pick up, you know, little bits and pieces of what the crew chief and the spotters are telling you. But, you know, I saw him stay out when we pitted, and I was like, well, what's that mean, you know? Where are we going to come out? And I kept looking, where's the 78? And then, you know, he just had such an advantage on tires there at the end, same advantage we did the time prior than when he had tires. So, all in all, there was three cars that were the class of the field, and proud that we were one of them, but kind of frustrated that we weren't over there in victory lane.
So that's Clint Bowyer on the strategy that Cole Pearn and Martin Truex Jr. had. And, you know, it was Cole Pearn. Martin Truex Jr. acted like he was just listening and following orders, which I think is a good thing. You heard Regan Smith on in our, I believe it was our third episode of Chasing Checkers. You can go to thegamenashville.com or back on iTunes and check that out. But he talked about Cole Pearn and how key he was to the Furniture Row team when he was there. He was a guy that worked on the car. He wasn't the crew chief yet. But the strategies that Cole Pearn would come up with, how smart he is, and just how he sees things, and Martin Truex Jr. clearly trusts him, and look at it, it fooled the field, and I think that, you know, credit was given to Truex and to that car that even though they made that strategy, they still had the car to beat. In fact, just listen to Kevin Harvick's answer asked about the strategy and if, you know, caution to come out. Did he think that he had a car?
It didn't affect our day at all. I don't think it would have been any different of an outcome.
So Kevin Harvick right there giving credit to Martin Truex Jr., Cole Pearn, that 78 team. Everybody knew that, you know, 10 laps to go or whatever it was, Martin Truex Jr. was going to win that race, barring any kind of mishap on his part. And, you know, he even said later on, he was like, you know, the last 10 laps, you start overthinking. You don't want to do that. You don't want to overdrive a corner or anything like that because it's very tough to come back from that, and it's easy to do it there. It's easy to overdrive those corners at Sonoma. But he was able to get it done, and he's once again showing that, you know, he's really good at road racing. And he even said last week when we had him on, I asked him about Sonoma in general, but road courses, and he said that it's just something that he loves doing now, that he's been going to road courses over the last few years, he considers himself to be somewhat of a road racer.
I definitely think it's just another race weekend for me. You know, we've been going there long enough. I feel like I can pretty much show up and go out on the racetrack in the first lap, get it all out of the car. So I love road course racing. I enjoy this one in particular, and definitely feel like we got a good handle on it. So just prepare like it's another race weekend and hopefully go out and get the job done.
And they did go out and get the job done. That was last week on Chasing Checkers with Martin Truex Jr. And, you know, you could kind of hear it there that he had some confidence that he felt like they had a pretty good car that they had unloaded there and that they had a chance to go out there and do something special. And ultimately, he was able to get it done with a win. Now, something else that I have noticed, Martin Truex Jr. is a prime example of this, but back in the day, when they would go to Sonoma and Watkins Glen, you had some guys that were pretty good road racers, Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, Mark Martin back in the day, few others. But then you also had the road racing ringers, Scott Pruitt, Boris Said. There's a few others as well that I'm blanking off the top of my head. But you kind of had to look to those guys. And even in the most recent years, A.J. Allmendinger, Marcus Ambrose, you kind of looked at those road racing ringers. Well, now, I don't know if it's the car. I don't know if it's just drivers are studying more. But it's clear that the rest of the field has learned how to turn right. Truex commented on that as well.
The entire field is definitely better as a whole group. You know, you come back to this track, year after year. The Xfinity guys run more road courses today than they have. Even the trucks run road courses now. They go to Canada. And so I think, K&N guys go to road courses. ARCA goes to road courses. I think just in general, stock car racing, you come up with more road course experience today than you did, say, before I did. You know, when I first started, it was very limited, early 2000s, back in the 90s. So I feel like since then, all those series and the ladder system with all the road courses and these kids getting all this road course experience, I think plays a big part in that. The fact that most of the field has experience at it. Doesn't mean they're going to be really good at it, but at least they're good enough to stay on the track all day and not, really make big mistakes and make big crashes and things like that. The other thing is we didn't have a lot of cautions. Typically here, cautions breed cautions. Restarts here are insane. They're very crazy. We've seen that in the past where if we get a late caution, you may have two or three or four in a row. So the fact that everybody played the stage breaks and we had clean restarts after that, I think, is a big part of that reason.
I think the stage racing probably helps this. It gives guys a chance to have a little bit of a break. They can strategize a little bit more with their crew chiefs. So I think that probably helps. But also, what Martin Truex Jr. just said, the fact that the lower tier series are running on the road courses again, it gives guys experience. You have the K&N series. You have the ARCA series. So these up-and-coming drivers can get that type of experience on a road course, and therefore we're seeing more guys be good at it and not have to, we're not looking at the same 3-4 drivers over and over again. Like a Jimmy Johnson is a guy that, is a pretty good road racer in his own right. So I think that you got to tip your cap to NASCAR a little bit, that they're able to do that and able to, add these courses to the schedule in the lower tier series and allow these drivers to get some experience. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, thegamenashville.com. Coming up next, we have two guests today. Coming up next, you'll hear from Ryan Blaney, driver of the number 12 Penske Ford, and then a little later on in the show, Paul Menard, who drives the 21 Wood Brothers. That's the car that Ryan Blaney used to drive. He will join the show ahead of Chicagoland. And also, I just got word, next week, leading into Daytona, Alex Bowman, the driver of the number 88. Can't wait to talk to him. So NASCAR has been awesome about giving up some of the best drivers in the world. It's Chasing Checkers at Chase on Game on Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, and listen always on thegamenashville.com.
From Morning Drive with Nick Cale, Braden Gall, and Derek Mason.
He needs to be the driving force.
To Darren and Donick with Darren McFarland and Willie Donick.
They've been talking about this all year.
To Jared and the GM with Jared Stillman and Floyd Reese.
You can't have it without the players wanting to be what they are.
No one covers your teams like Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe here with you, and pleased to be joined by the driver, the number 12 Penske Ford. Ryan Blaney is on the line with us. Ryan, how's it going, man?
Oh, it's going great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you taking the time to join us, racing at Chicago this weekend. But let's talk about your season so far. You're 11th in points right now. You're coming off your first career win last season. Had a lot of momentum going into this year. What has the transition been like for you going now full-time with Team Penske, even though I know you had a lot of support from them with the Wood Brothers last year?
Yeah, it's you know, I think it's been a pretty good year. It's kind of been up and down. Some of our finishes definitely don't kind of line up with how we run. You know, we've kind of had some troubles from little wrecks or parts failures. Just kind of clean those up a little bit. But I think our team's in a really good spot right now. Just a matter of kind of getting everything sorted out and trying to finish off these races and trying to get one in the win column here this year. That'd be pretty big.
I think when you ask anybody in NASCAR in any of the levels, they'll tell you, whether it's a rookie driver, a guy that's been, you know, in it for 3-4 years like yourself, or somebody that's been doing it as long as Jimmy Johnson, they will all tell you it is difficult to win in the NASCAR Cup Series. Why is that? Is it just all the talent?
All the talent. So many great teams, drivers, cars, and competition is so high. So it is super tough to win in the Cup Series. And, the people who've done it multiple times, that's a huge testament to their ability and their teams and things like that. So hopefully we can get ours rolling here to where we can be winning races consistently. But, it's just, the highest level of competition in the United States in motorsports. These guys are there for a reason. It's because they deserve to be. So that makes it really tough.
Ryan Blaney on the line with us. He'll be racing at Chicagoland this weekend as the Cup Series shifts over to NBC. They will take over. So you look at your season and you've gone through that transition process that you talked about. Do you feel like, though, now that you're in a good spot in the points, you're qualified for the playoffs on points, going into the summer months and going back to a track like Pocono here in a few weeks that you're good at, do you think that that's going to be at your advantage?
I hope so. It's always nice to go back to places where you've had success before, whether that's winning races or just run well. You really get excited for going back to those places. So I think from now till the beginning of the playoffs, there's some really good places for us to hopefully try to win some races. But we go into every week hoping to win, and that's our mindset. That's kind of the mindset you have to have. We'll see if we can put one in, but no, it should be nice. I love Pocono. It's a great racetrack. That's always a special place when you go back to the track where you get your first win.
Ryan, when you look at auto racing, whether it's open wheel, the IndyCars or NASCAR, there's a name that always pops up. That's Roger Penske. That's your boss who took a shot on you, and you've had a lot of success together. What's it like working for Roger and racing for Team Penske?
Yeah, RP is amazing. He's been an amazing owner to drive for. He gave me a shot back in 2012, and it's been really cool to drive a Cup car for him full time. That was a big deal, bringing the 12 car back and kind of reviving that whole deal. So, and he's a he just won his 17th Indy 500, and that's amazing. He did that this year, so. He's a great person. I've learned so much from him, not only about racing and motorsports, but stuff off the track. That's how he kind of goes about everyday life. So I couldn't be at a better spot. Very, very excited to be here, and hope I can stay here for a long time.
Yeah, when I think about the history of that 12 car, there are two moments that really stand out to me. Of course, Ryan Newman winning the Daytona 500, and then also Jeremy Mayfield spinning out Earnhardt to win at Pocono. So, how special will it be for you, not win, but will, when you do get your first win in the 12?
It'd be very special. It would almost be like a first win all over again, when you win for a new team, new owner. And to be able to win for Roger Penske would be very, very special as well. So, yeah, hopefully we can add some another great memory to that 12 car. And the two you posted, I remember those two races really stand out to me as well. And it'd be nice to recreate that.
How special was it, though, for you racing for the Wood Brothers? You got them back to victory lane, and just a team that has so much history in NASCAR.
Yeah, the Wood Brothers were amazing to me, and I'll always be thankful for them and always be a part of their family. Just because I'm not driving for them anymore, I'm still part of the Wood Brothers family. And, get my first win with them, and it was our 99th win as a team. It's a shame we couldn't get 100 for them, but, they taught me so much about, their love for the sport, and they've been around for I think 68 years now in the sport. And that's unheard of. That's amazing to be able to get to know those guys from the original two Wood Brothers, from Leonard and Glenn to Glenn's sons Eddie and Len. That
means a lot to get to know those folks. And they definitely taught me to be very humble and appreciate the sports. And you know, they've stuck around for a long time, and I hope they can stick around for even longer.
Talking with Penske Racing driver Ryan Blaney here on Chasing Checkers. So NASCAR made the decision that after running the rules package, the drafting package at the All-Star Race, they had batted around the idea of possibly bringing it back at some point this year. It looks like 2019 is going to be the earliest that they try that again. What were your thoughts on it, racing it at Charlotte? And then I know the Xfinity Series has tried it as well. What do you think they need to look at moving forward to try and bring it back?
Yeah, you know, it was different. It was very different. It was a pretty interesting rules package they did. They just wanted to, you know, try to bring them closer together. And they did that. You know, driving it was obviously way different. Not a lot of power, bunch of downforce and drag. You get big drafts on people. So I think the reason why they didn't want to bring it back again this year is they wanted to try to get it better before it got back on the racetrack. You know, so in the off season, they can actually get a bunch of these cars. They can take them to the wind tunnel. They can really prepare, and then we can test them too. So I think it'd be good for, you know, some racetracks. I don't think it'd be the best thing to go to for every racetrack, but I think some of the, you know, the bigger racetracks, for sure you can go to that, to where you can get big drafts and runs on people. I think that package is perfect for places like that. So I'm sure we'll see it in 2019, and hopefully we'll even keep making improvements from what it was in the All-Star race.
Well, one thing we will see this weekend is some pretty good racing from Chicago. What can you expect out of your team and your car going into the race weekend?
Well, the mile and a half has been really good to us this year. We've had some really fast cars on the bigger tracks, and I have always enjoyed Chicago. It's a great racetrack. It's you know, a place where we'll run, you know, from the very bottom all the way to the wall, and that makes it, you know, a fun racetrack not only for fans to watch, but for us to drive as well. And so it's, you know, it's a different spot than what it has been over the past years. You know, it used to be the first race in the playoffs, and now it's you know, right here in the summertime. So it's going to be a little bit different for sure, but I'm excited to get there. The fans are usually amazing, and I'm pumped. I'm ready to go racing, so we'll see.
And then also coming up next weekend, of course, July 4th weekend, you go back to Daytona, and you've made yourself into a little bit of a plate racer, always a wild card for any race that happens at Daytona or Talladega. But are you looking forward to going back there?
Yeah, it should be good. Daytona is always a special place, not only, you know, just the history behind that place, and whether it's the 500 or the July race. We went down there a lot as a kid with my family, and always watched my dad run. So it's always going to be really neat to me. Hopefully we can get in Victor Lane. Our speedway programs have been pretty good this year. They have been really good for the past few years. But we'll see if we can break out and stay out of trouble is the biggest thing. You never know what can happen. That's another wild card about that. But it will be nice to see all the fans back in Daytona and be able to have some cool night racing on Saturday night, which is always neat.
Talking with Ryan Blaney, and before we get out of here, tell us about your podcast, Glass Case of Emotion. You've become a host in your own right. We've seen you on NBC as well, doing some TV spots, but talk about Glass Case of Emotion.
Yeah, that podcast got started last year, and it's been a lot of fun to watch it grow and be a part of it. We seem to be getting bigger and bigger each year, and we have more athletes on the show, drivers, musicians, and you know, that podcast was really just something to you know, have that's a part of NASCAR that we don't talk a ton about racing. You know, we recap the race weekends and things like that, but just we wanted a show to be really comfortable to where drivers can go on and not talk about their jobs. You know, they can talk about what they do on a daily basis and their lives, and just have them open up more, you know, make everybody a little bit more relatable. So that's been a lot of fun. We had Josh Norman,
very cool,
you know, who plays for the Redskins on yesterday up here in New York. He was great. I got to know so much about him. So hopefully that deal keeps going, but it's been fun so far.
Very, very cool. Well, Ryan, hey, I appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend in Chicago, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Ryan Blaney, the driver of the number 12 Penske Ford, racing this weekend at Chicagoland. Appreciate him taking some time to come on Chasing Checkers. Any of these interviews that we have, and we have had quite a few. We've had Joey Logano. We've had Matt DiBenedetto. We've had Martin Truex Jr. We've had Darrell Waltrip. We've had Regan Smith. You just heard Ryan Blaney. Paul Menard coming up here in just a little bit. We're supposed to have Alex Bowman next week. You can hear it all by subscribing on iTunes. Just search for Chasing Checkers. Go subscribe. Go like it. You can find us on SoundCloud as well, and then everything is always on thegamenashville.com. When we come back, racing on Wednesday? Could that happen in the Cup Series? We'll discuss next, plus much more. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at thegamenashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. On thegamenashville.com, we're on iTunes, we're on SoundCloud, on Twitter, at Chase on Game. I am Chase McCabe here with you every Friday afternoon. You hear us throughout the weekend as well on ESPN 102.5 The Game. My thanks to Ryan Blaney for joining the show. Paul Menard coming up in the next segment. Alex Bowman coming up next week. So appreciate NASCAR for offering up as many drivers as they have in the short history of this show. So I said before the break, could we see racing on Wednesday? Well, what did I mean? So Denny Hamlin was on the Dale Jr. Download, which is the podcast that Dale Earnhardt Jr. does for Dirty Mo Radio. He had Denny Hamlin on for about half the show, and they got into a lot of different things. They talked about the driver council that, you know, goes on, that Dale Jr. was once a part of. Denny Hamlin was once a part of it, is not anymore. It's been an official thing since 2016. But Hamlin said that there's kind of a different secret council that they meet with various industry leaders, track presidents, different things like that, team presidents, NASCAR. And so that's something that he has been a part of. And one of the things that has been a discussion is a midweek race. Well, that hasn't happened in a very long time. At one point in time, the Firecracker 400 was run, you know, on the actual 4th of July, whatever day of the week that was. But it's been batted around a few times about could they race on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And, you know, I think the idea behind it is it can reduce travel costs. So you could essentially find a place that, you know, is nearby to where you're racing the week before. West Coast probably would be a perfect example of that. And it reduces the travel cost because you can just go from track to track. Now, you know, that's easier said than done with the way these cars are set up. You'd have to find similar tracks, but that's a part of the idea. But at the same time, this industry, this sport has struggled with television ratings. That's something that people on a Sunday afternoon, they're not necessarily watching the races anymore like they used to. They're not going to the races anymore. When you get into the fall, competing against the NFL is next to impossible for NASCAR. And so I think they're trying to come up with different ways that they can get people interested in the sport and paying attention to it again. And one of the ways to do that, I think, could be a prime time. That's the key, a prime time weekday race. Like, imagine Martinsville, which now has lights, and they go on a Thursday night and run the Cup race. Fox has the television rights. They put it on Big Fox. It starts at 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern, something like that. They run the race for Martinsville. I believe that you would get a pretty good audience. Depending on the time of year, you would have to be strategic on what time of year you decide to do this. But I think you could get a pretty good audience to tune into a race like that. Atlanta, a place that has struggled mightily over the last few years. I think that is a place that you could do a weeknight race and have people show up, have people watch it on TV. So find some of these tracks that are exciting enough to get people's attention when they're just sitting at their house wanting to do something. You know, when there's not a lot, you know, when there's not a lot going on, then I think that that's something that NASCAR can capitalize on, and it's something they should capitalize on. I love this idea, and I love the fact, you know, I asked both, I asked Ryan Blaney, I'm going to ask Paul Menard about this, but I asked Truex last week, you know, getting rid of, or delaying the restrictor plate drafting package that they ran to the All-Star race, delaying that to next year. I get the vibe that a lot of these drivers don't like it, which tells me that eventually it's probably going to be changed dramatically. And my point on that is at least NASCAR is trying something different. At least they're trying something exciting for the fans, for the product, to get people to pay attention to them and watch them again. So I think you can try any idea. It doesn't mean you have to stick with it, but I think that that's something that NASCAR has been good at as of late, in trying these new ideas and just seeing what happens. That's what they need to do with these weekday races. I think that would be really cool. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you at Chase on Game on the Twitter. Appreciate the response that you guys have had for the first six. Now we're in our seventh episode of this show. Very, very cool that we have it every Friday afternoon. GameNashville.com. You can find it in Apple iTunes and, of course, playing over the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game. There's one driver I want to hit on. Now, I'm probably going to hit on him a couple times in this show, going into Chicagoland. Chase Elliott has a second and a third place finish in two career races at this racetrack. Now, granted, that happened in the fall at the beginning of the playoffs. It wasn't in the heat of summer, so that could change things. But Chase Elliott is a guy that I think all of us need to see get in victory lane. We all think it's going to happen. We all feel like it will eventually. He's good enough, but he hasn't gotten there yet. And it has been a topic of conversation over the past couple of years of when is it actually going to happen. And I know that this year has been up and down for him. It's been a struggle at times. But Chase was asked about this at Chicago, about kind of picking his battles and trying to find that balance of speed that eventually will lead him to victory lane.
I think that's the biggest thing, is you just have to kind of pick your battles. And you know, for us, there's been races to this point throughout the year that, you know, we haven't been the fastest car at the end of practice or at the end of qualifying. And you have to really just kind of sit back and make the most of what you have. And oftentimes, if you try to overreach, I've caught myself overreaching before. And when you're in a sport this competitive, and you do overreach, you can sometimes get yourself in more trouble than just taking what you have and trying to make the most of that. And although there's been days where we haven't been strong enough to go compete for a win, whatever that portion of the field you're in, you just need to maximize it and maximize your effort and what you have going on. So I think that's been the biggest challenge, is just getting into a race and pushing all you can push, and it not be for the lead, you know, is certainly not the easiest thing to accept, right? So, you know, we're all working hard, and I hope that this weekend is a different story, but just trying to make the most of what we have, you know, or what we've had at different points throughout the season has been challenging, but it's been a fun challenge. I enjoy challenges, and I know our team does too. So we've been working really hard, you know, throughout the year to try to improve our cars and improve myself and get better and hopefully be able to put ourselves in some good positions moving forward.
I think that Chase Elliott is in some of the best equipment, albeit Hendrick Motorsports has had their struggles this year, but he's in some of the best equipment that any NASCAR team has to offer. He's that close to winning a race. He's going to a track that he's good at. I think it's got to be soon. It's just gotten to his head a little bit. And I think that he's admitted that. He's addressed that he's kind of in his own way. Just because, look, it's natural. It's a natural human response when you are expected to do something and you haven't done it yet, and there's all this pressure on you, and your last name is Elliott, and your dad's a former champion. I get it. There's a lot that goes into it. But I just think he's starting to get it right. He's going to a place where he has a lot of confidence. He's got to be close. So we'll see what happens there. We'll talk more about that here in just a little bit, about what to expect out of Chicago and, most notably, Chase Elliott. But coming up next, Paul Menard joins the show. Be good to talk to him about Chicagoland and racing for the Wood Brothers. That's all next. ESPN 102.5 The Game and TheGameNashville.com.
Yo, Nashville, Buck Rising, Tennessee Titans insider, and the host of your favorite new podcast, Tackling Music City, here. Join us as we talk about all things two-tone blue with current and former players, football experts, and analysts from all walks of life every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on thegamenashville.com, in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and every weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, streaming online at thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you, and pleased to be joined by the driver of the famed number 21 Wood Brothers Ford, Paul Menard. Paul, how are you?
Doing good, Chase. Up here in Chicago, and sitting in some air conditioning, but it's nice and warm up here.
Yeah, well, I know you're looking forward to some good racing this Sunday. I know, and it's a little bit different because Chicago has shifted its position on the schedule. This was in the playoffs the last few years, and now you're back running in early July, late June, early July.
Yeah, we used to race here in July, I guess, a few years ago, but we weren't expecting this heat, so it's going to be something that we'll chase all weekend long. The track's pretty wore out to begin with. It's an older surface. It's a really racy surface, a lot of bumps, and this heat's just going to make it really slippery, which is pretty fun for drivers, honestly. We like sliding around and trying to find multiple grooves at work, and we're going to be seeing a lot of that this weekend.
How do you combat that when you have a track that I think 2001 was the first year it was on the Cup Series schedule? So it's still relatively new, but as you just said, the surface has kind of started to wear out. How do you kind of combat that as you go and they, maybe look at changing it here in the next few years, but right now it's what you got to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard on trying to keep the platform of the car. So you really have to do a lot of work with shocks primarily, because the surface has so many bumps and seams and cracks and things. So when we start running like the middle of the track, down in 3 and 4 where the tunnel is, there's a huge bump. So as a driver, you actually have to, even if your car wants to go through there, you kind of have to drive around it, because you just go through that huge bump, it picks the tires up. So this stuff that we learn as we go, that bump's always been there. It's going to continue to get worse, and we know that, so we adjust for it.
Talking with Paul Menard, driver of the 21 Wood Brothers Ford. He'll be racing at Chicagoland this weekend. So earlier in the week, Paul, I talked to Ryan Blaney, who, of course, ran that car last year, the last couple of years, and he got the 99th win for the Wood Brothers. What would it mean to you in your first season with that team to get win number 100?
It would be huge. This the history of the race team. 50-some years of racing to... If we're fortunate enough to get win number 100, which we're shooting for every week, that'd just be a huge accomplishment and something that when I'm an old man, I can look back on and be really proud of. So good group of guys, really, really great race team, and it'd be an honor to do that.
What has it been like for you running the Fords this year? Because we've seen the success that they've had, and I know Stuart Haas, of course, with Harvick and Clint Bowyer and those guys, they've had a lot of it, but you've been running well too. So what is it with the Fords that seems to be working this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the last off season, if you ask the Ford camp kind of what their prospects were, we're all a little bit nervous because the Ford Fusion is the oldest car, oldest body on the series right now. But with the Hawkeye system that NASCAR has to tech the cars, I think that cut out a lot of the games that the other manufacturers were playing and brought them closer to where the Fords were. So, we have a lot of history with this Ford being the oldest body. We keep making it better. So, like the Chevrolet Camaro is brand new, so they really had to learn that the Toyota had some stuff built into it where, NASCAR kind of put an end to that this year. So you saw them take a step backwards, and the Ford Fusion just keeps chugging along and getting better. So great horsepower, obviously, with the Roush Yates engines and a tried and true chassis and body.
Chicagoland coming up this weekend, and we've seen you win at the Brickyard before. You run well on the plate tracks. What do you make of Chicagoland, and how do you like those mile and a half, those intermediate tracks?
Yeah, Chicagoland's it's a fun track for sure. It's like I said, it's old, it's wore out, it's bumpy, and as drivers, we like that. You know, we'll qualify running the bottom, and as the tires wear, the surface is pretty abrasive. The tires wear out pretty quickly here. We'll start moving around and trying to find a line that works. So that's what we like as drivers.
You finished sixth in the Daytona 500 this year. Are you looking forward to going back there next weekend?
Yeah, I mean, Daytona and Talladega are kind of their own animal. We've had really fast cars there you know, at both those tracks earlier this year. So definitely looking forward to going back there. You know, hope we can survive the race, and if we make it to the end, we'll have a shot to win it, I have no doubt.
So you guys ran in the All-Star race. You ran this this drafting package similar to something you would run in a plate track. NASCAR did some research on it. They asked you guys. They decided that they're going to wait until 2019 before they bring it back and possibly put it in a points-paying race. What did you think of the setup that you had at Charlotte back in May, and is this something that you think would be good for racing if they did it in points races?
Well, I was glad that they did it at Charlotte for the All-Star weekend, just to get it out of the way and kind of get a feel for it. If we race that at all, the intermediates, I think it's probably not the best thing for the sport personally. I think the racing gets to be very manufactured at that point. You know, it's kind of made up racing. So I'm glad that they're not doing it this year.
Paul, best of luck this weekend at Chicago. Appreciate you taking the time to come on with me.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
That's Paul Menard, driver of the number 21, the famed Wood Brothers Ford. And really cool to catch up with him. Ryan Blaney earlier in the show. Some good guests this week as they're both racing at Chicagoland. It's kind of funny that it worked out that way because Ryan Blaney used to drive the Wood Brothers Ford, actually got them win number 99, and Paul Menard looking to get win number 100 for the Wood Brothers. Could it happen this weekend? Chicagoland. This is a track that the past few years has been in the playoffs, and now they have moved it back to the summer months, as you heard Paul talking about. And Kevin Harvick won the first two races in this track's existence. Way back when he was driving for Richard Childress Racing, the 29 car, that GM Goodrich car that he took over from Dale Earnhardt, he won the first two races, and then ever since then, he hasn't been able to get back and has had his struggles. But he talked about the evolution of the track at Chicagoland and kind of what we can expect going into this weekend.
I think as we've come here, we've had, we've had fast cars. It's just, it's hard to get everything to work out everywhere. You know, I think as you talk about the racetrack in particular, I think those first few years, coming here, it was obviously a really, really high grip situation as far as the asphalt went and the different style of racetrack just because of the amount of grip and the style of asphalt that they use. And I think today, the biggest difference is really just the asphalt, and it has a lot of bumps, a lot of character. The asphalt is wore out, the tires fall off. They've changed the tires a few times over the last few years. And, you've kind of had to keep up with that. So it's a really, really hard track to get the handling of the car right just because of the fact that the bumps are so bad. And that's a good thing. You know, I think as you look at racetracks, and I normally don't run racetracks on Saturday unless I enjoy them. And so I'm racing on Saturday. So obviously this is a racetrack that I enjoy and look forward to making every lap on the track because of the fact that it's a challenge to drive, and you can move all over the racetrack and you've got options as a driver.
Kevin Harvick is a guy that still loves racing there. He's had one heck of a season having won as many races as he has. Would I be surprised? And let's look at the top fives. Let's look at the runner-up finishes. Would I be surprised if he's, one of the guys in contention this weekend? Absolutely not. You hear I heard both Ryan Blaney and Paul Menard speak on this, and then you hear it from Harvick there, but the character that this track has now, and that's something when you first build a track, I mean, it's going to take time. It's going to take the sun beating down on it. It's going to take several races. Bumps are going to develop. It's going to get some character about it. And it looks like that Chicagoland has gotten to that point, and these drivers like that. You know, a lot of times when you start seeing a track that has some worn pavement, they kind of think, all right, well, it's time for a resurface. Sometimes the drivers don't like that because they figured out what's there. They know how to manipulate those bumps. And I think that's what goes into their strategy. So they don't want to have to learn the track all over again. And sometimes that happens. But we can expect a hot, slick track just because of the heat we have had, you know, in the country over the past few weeks. But Chase Elliott commented on what that is going to be like this weekend with such hot weather surrounding Chicago.
I ran an Xfinity race. You know, the summer race was here. You know, it was in the heat of the summer. I remember when we raced up here with it. So it might change it some, but at the end of the day, I think it'll be similar. I think that the track will probably just have a little less grip overall, but it'll have less grip for everyone. So, you know, the track surface is kind of what it is, and there's always a lot of talk about, you know, cooler weather, warmer weather, this or that, but it's the same for everybody, just like the tire is. So, you know, one of those things where you got to accept it, make the most of it, and know that, you know, the speeds will probably be off from what they were last fall, you know, from qualifying or race pace fall off, but you're still going to be pushing the car to the edge, and whatever that edge is, it's going to produce X lap time. I mean, for me, that might not really feel much different inside the car, but you might just be going slower than you were last fall. So we'll see, though. It's been a while since I have, so I don't know.
We'll see what kind of effect that has on the drivers, has on the strategies this weekend at Chicago. You know, I love it when they're racing on a hot, slick track because I think that just shows you how good these drivers really are. And listening to Chase Elliott there, you know, he's one that we talked about earlier that I think having a second place, a third place finish at this track, this might actually be his weekend. How many times have we said that over the last 3 years? But I think he's that close to breaking through. It's been an up and down year for him. He actually commented on bridging the gap to the rest of the competition and to where they are.
Pocono, I thought we had a really good race at Pocono. We didn't finish very well, but we were pretty competitive in the competition. Typically, when you run well at Pocono, you go to Michigan and run well too. And we ran really good at Pocono, went to Michigan, and didn't run well. So I was kind of surprised by that and, you know, felt like that I kind of had an idea of what we needed and the direction we were going was better for all those places, and obviously that wasn't the case. So, you know, I can think back through a few races throughout the year where I thought we were in the ballpark. You know, for the most part, there's been a bigger gap, you know, on those mile and a half to 2 mile tracks.
So can this be the weekend? Will this be the weekend? Could be two completely different answers for Chase Elliott, but we will find out, and of course, we will discuss it next week here on Chasing Checkers. Subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Chasing Checkers. We're on SoundCloud as well. Find us on thegamenashville.com. Follow me on Twitter at ChaseOnGame. My thanks to Ryan Blaney and to Paul Menard. Alex Bowman coming up next week as we get ready to go to Daytona. Can't wait. The July 4th weekend race at the Daytona International Speedway. Thanks for listening, as always, to Chasing Checkers on ESPN 102.5 The Game.